Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The subject of mind control can conjure up images of government-controlled experiments or the sinister work of intelligence organizations, but the truth is mind control is also taking place in homes, and most people don't even realize they have been programmed against their wishes. Pastor John looks at how people can be brainwashed at home by those we love. He uses the example of a mother who was involved in witchcraft in Pentecostal churches and had a daughter that she did not want to grow up to become independent, so she set up an elaborate scheme to place mental blocks in the daughter and cripple her mentally. The daughter eventually left home, married, and had 4 children, but was incapable of just doing regular household chores. Her children also became mentally unstable and struggled just to cope with life. Listening to this teaching will give you an awareness that many people are under a mind control program without even knowing it. This message is entitled, Destroying Mind Control. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins the message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on a Thursday night. And we are now in the month of December. And I'm happy that you are here with us tonight. And I want to welcome the people on the East Coast. And we are very happy you tuned in tonight. And we're going to be talking about transferring of demons. And also going to be talking a bit about mind control tonight. So let's stand and let's pray and let's get right into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that, Lord, you are present with us and that you never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you right now, Father God, that tonight you will open up our minds and spirits so that we'll be able to understand biblical truth so we can be successful and destroy the works of the devil. And I praise you and I thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read a scripture to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 13. And we have been discussing here transferring of spirits. And we have been talking about evil spirits being transferred. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Bible tells us now that Satan will transform himself and the demons into angels of light. And there is a transferring of spirits. I want to tonight to discuss with you transferring of spirits in conjunction with mind control. And I'm going to be working on page number 170 in the Christian Dynamics, how to destroy mind control. Let me lay the foundation here now. Mind control is done in several different ways. When we think about mind control, we think about the CIA, we think about intelligence services that are doing mind-controlled government. There's one type of mind control. But there is a mind control in families. And that is a type of a mind control that really has not been addressed that much. But it is just as important. In regular mind control that is done by the communists, the Nazis, and our beloved CIA, they are simply placing demons into a person. They are traumatizing, breaking them down, placing demons in order to control them, and then having code words that will simply activate a certain event. Let me give you one example. Probably about 20 years ago, we had a young man that traveled from the state of Washington to Stockton. And he selected a grade school. The children, they were about probably between 7 and 10 years old. And he had with him a semi-automatic weapon. And as the children were coming out to have a break and they were playing on a playground, he just very calmly got his weapon up and he just blasted them and killed quite a few. I think he killed 20 or 25 children right on the spot. And then, of course, as the police came in, he turned the gun on himself and he committed suicide. He died right there. And everybody said, now, why did that happen? Well, at that particular time, there was legislation in the United States on gun control. And they left wanted to have a lot of gun control and take the guns out from law-abiding citizens. So they had a number of people doing random shooting up. And, of course, the media jumped on it and said, look at this, we got to control. Let's get the weapons off the street. So this man simply was a slave. He had been under mind control, activated, and after he was activated, he was also programmed to destroy himself. And that's what he did. Now, this is something, you know, that I don't want to talk about tonight. Tonight I want to talk about family mind control, which is very, very important. So, here's what we're going to look for. If a person, if you have been someone that controlled your mind, most of the time you do not know it. The person that simply has his mind, his brain programmed, does not know it himself. So let's say now we take a toddler, 2-3-year-old toddler. And for some reason, the parents might not like the child, or there might be siblings, they don't like the child. And the child is told, you are no good. Oh, you did it in your pants again? Oh, we got to really whack you this time. What's wrong with you? Now, I'm sure that you have seen children traumatized that are bedwetting when the age 5, 6, 7, sometimes, you know, up to 10, 12 years old, they simply cannot go through a night without wetting the bed. I'm sure that you've heard and seen some people like this. The reason that this is going on is that that child was traumatized as a child, and the trauma is still there, and there is a fear. There are trigger points. And let's say, for example, someone says a negative word. Boom. It locks down. And the child now reverts back to childhood. They screamed at me. They cussed at me. They didn't love me. And, you just go to pieces. And then comes anger. Rage, lashing out, because you don't recognize why you're doing this and what is going on. In school, it used to be, I went to school in Europe, but the teachers in Sweden were very nasty. And the teacher was simply to control the child. The teacher will make the child a laughing stock and simply said, look, boys and girls, look at this child over here. And then the child was traumatized because not everybody turned and told the child how bad you are, you know, good and this and that. And it destroyed the child. Now we got a trauma and we got demons that now are in this person's life. And these demons now are controlling anger, resentment, and so on. Self-destruction. Let me read this list here that I made up. And this is made up here on a person that we did some deliverance on some time back. And in this instant now, it was a mother that simply had taken one of her girls and said, I don't want to let this girl go. And so here is what happened. I'm going to read that to you now. Number one, what the mother had programmed was this. When someone comes to your house, you are in danger. You must hide and make sure that visitors do not find you. Now, this woman was in her late 30s, had several children, had a college degree, married, but for some reason, when somebody rang the doorbell, just like this, brain froze, and she ran and hid in a closet, went over the door. Somebody has to open the door. They asked, where is Mrs. So-and-so? She don't want to talk to you. Now, that's bondage. Secondly, the mother had programmed the little girl to this. You may not succeed in any endeavors in this life. You may proceed in different projects. But when you are close to finishing, you must stop and self-destruct. You are not allowed to be successful. This particular woman when she taking classes, doing things, very successful, final test, when it was just about the end, self-destructed, just blew it. Cried eyeballs after. Why did they do that? Because there's a demon there that was placed by her mother at the age of 3 or 4 years old, saying, you may not succeed in life. Point number three. This woman was told this. You are not to get married. And if you're disobedient and marry anyway, you are forbidden to obey and support your husband. You are to cause strife at all times, sabotage his education and ability to make money. You're to make sure that your children become dysfunctional and unable to succeed in life. Now, I want to emphasize here now that this particular person I'm talking about was not conscious about this. She did not think, okay, I've got to do this or this or that. When you have been traumatized as a child, your brain has been split in half, and there is a portion of the brain that you don't control. The demons do. You control this, and you're amazed what you're doing, but you shouldn't do it. And so this person, sure enough, produced a very dysfunctional family. And they had tremendous problems. Fourthly, the mother has said, you're to be my little girl at all times. I'm the only one that can protect you. You're bound to me as long as you live on this earth. You will never feel safe anywhere except when you are with me. Now, this particular woman hated her mother. She hated her mother. At the same time, she was drawn, Mom, I need you. She didn't understand why we had a division. Fifthly, she was told you ought to be dysfunctional. Well, you're away from me. You will be confused, unable to carry on daily duties, and you ought to self-destruct in all things. And then she was told you ought to be obese, and if you try to lose weight, you will make sure that you do not succeed. This was a pitiful situation. Now, this person here was controlled, actually destroyed in so many ways, but not all of us, there can be layers. You can have damage as a child to degrees. Your brain is locked, demons are there, and you have a mind control that's running parallel with your regular mind. And the damage can be greater or less. It is actually, if a person has a lot of damage, it's easier to treat them than a person that has little damage because they say, oh, I don't have a problem. The seventh thing that she had laid into this woman was, you will view yourself as a helpless child that never grows up. You will never have any joy aside from me. I'm your joy and I'm your life. And the eighth point, you will not build friendship with other women. And when people show kindness, you must rebuff and hurt them so they will leave you alone. Remember, you're mine and mine alone. I want you to think about this now. If you have difficulty in having friends, if you simply rebuff people, most likely you have a mind control situation where there's a demon that simply says, you know, I don't want you to develop this because if you have a friendship, then you'll be able to function better and I want you to be in disarray. Number nine, you must always view yourself as a failure from which there is no recovery. Aside from me, you are stupid and will never amount to anything. This is a woman who had a very high IQ, could dance around with mathematics, not only algebra, calculus, you name it, further up, differential equations. But she simply felt this, I am stupid, and I will never amount to anything. She had self-destructed from day one. You must always remember that God does not love you and never will. You cannot trust God, nor can you trust anyone except your mother. This person simply felt, God does not love me. I have no one that loves me. And then the last point, if you do not stay with me and forever be my little girl, I will curse you to destroy your life and all people around you. I have bound you with the chains of darkness, and Lucifer will make sure that you cannot escape from me. I will destroy your life. The mother in this case was into witchcraft. She was also a Pentecostal believer, so to say, in Christ. Spoke in tongues, prophesied, but she was an angel of light. She was from the devil. Now, what we need to do is we need to examine ourselves to break free. Many of us are damaged goods. I think today there's not no one that's not damaged goods. And the question is this, are we willing to recognize that maybe I have some peculiar problems? If you fly off the handle, in anger and rage for no reason at all at times. It is obvious there's a demonic problem. If you simply cannot be happy and you are always analyzing everything and say, you know, what do I do now? What can I do? And so on. Then there is what I would call a mind control that needs to be destroyed. Yesterday is gone. We'll never come back. How do we break loose in these situations? Well, let me take it to Philippians chapter 4. Turn to your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. To give Joe some time, I'm going to turn myself to Philippians chapter 4. He's there. Boy, he's the fastest gunner in town. Philippians 4, he really know how to use the gospel gun. Philippians 4, chapter and verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But in other words, we need not to start focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask yourself this. Why do I get depressed at times? Why do I have these negative feelings? Why are these things coming up? Now, in my home, my childhood, we lived where my mom and dad did not have a whole lot of money. And so they had rented an apartment. My grandmother had a house. 3-story house with a basement. Grandmother, first floor. We on the second floor. My uncle on the third floor. And the basement we have, you know, bathroom and so on. It was a house of strife. My aunts did not like my mother. And they sabotaged her. And they did everything they could to make life miserable. One of my aunts that I believe right now was traumatized herself. Now, we had a stairway coming down that we had to go and passing the entrance to the first floor. And one night, my aunt, she was probably at that time maybe 30 years old, she had got a white sheet, covered herself in a white sheet, stood inside the door, it was dark. And just as I passed, she opened the door, and just flopped all over the place. And you know, my heart went up in my throat. I ran and screamed, oh man, a ghost is going to kill me. Now, so what that did to me was, it created in me a resentment and an anger. I want to pull this together here in a few minutes. Let me talk about my uncle. There's only one of the two brothers, my dad and his brother. And for some reason, they became very angry with one another and for 20 years did not speak to each other. Going to be peaceable. Uncle lived upstairs on the third floor. And many times when we were home, I could hear my dad meeting my uncle, and they just simply slugged it out in the stairway. So my parents always talked about, you know, how nasty my aunts are, you know, how bad my uncle is and so on. So here's my little boy now. And I said, you know, well, I'm going to have revenge. So on a Saturday night, this is back in the 50s, you know, we didn't have cars. My uncle was all dressed up. He was not married. He was going to take his bike and go out, you know, and court the young lady. And I simply said, well, you ain't going too far tonight. So I went out, and I simply took out the valves in his car, in his bicycle, and threw them away. And then I hid myself way down in the yard, watching him coming out. Here he comes, you know, nice suit, you know, tie and everything else, you know, walking out, taking his bike, you know, flat. He looked down, he can see the valves are gone. He knew it was me. So he began to scream and holler, you know, and running around in the yard. And, of course, you know, I was running around like a rooster. And then my parents came out, you know, and he said, you don't know what you did, you know. And my dad said, come here, boy, I'm going to give you a beating. I said, Dad, I'm helping you out. I'm just getting revenge on him. You told me how bad he is. I'm just being your son helping you. He didn't beat me. He just looked at me and said, maybe we have not been living right. Now, my aunt, with a sheet, she had a guy that she started dating, and eventually she married him. And, of course, I didn't like him from the beginning because he was dating my aunt that I didn't like. So I decided, you know, that I was going to fix his wagon. Now, we lived in this city. We had blocks, and, you know, you had a number of houses, and, you know, had fences and stuff, you know. So we have devised, we could jump from yard to yard. We have certain, we jumped over this plank, you know, we had the pathway we were going as we were in a gang. So I said, you know, we are really going to teach this guy a lesson. So we got a garbage can, empty, a metal garbage can, and we set this up next to the fence. And so I had a couple of guys that said, now, when I come flying over the fence, get the garbage can out. When my uncle come, well, future uncle come, put it in and let him hit the can. So then, of course, I went into the yard, you know, and go, da, 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 you know, just teasing him, and he bit into it. He started chasing me, and I took off. I was a good runner then. And I had it all set up. And he was just going out, ha, 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 you know, and I flew over this fence. And he tried to get over that fence. There was a garbage can, and man, did he hit it. Now, you know, when you hit your legs and everything else in the garbage can, and you fall into the can, you're not feeling very good. And he limped home, and I thought, you know, nice job. Fixed him up. Got revenge. What I'm telling you about is this. This was mind control. The demons. My parents were negative. They told me bad things about other people. And I became a person of, I was avenging, I was a revenge. Hateful person. It took me some time. I didn't realize then that I was setting him up to be a mean person. And so because of this, I had to be delivered of this. Now, my aunt, we prayed with her. My wife had a chance to go through deliverance with her. And that was all cleared up years later. My uncle the same. And the guy that I got in the garbage can, he called me up. We ministered to him, too. He called me up probably about 6 months before he died. And he said, John, he said, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven or not. I'm just beside myself. So on the phone from here, I ministered to him, and we made peace. But what I'm saying to you is this. I had traumas. I had things in my life that simply made me do things I should not do. And I didn't understand why I did them. If you have traumas in your life, you need to, number one, say this. This is weird. Why do I feel like this? Why do I have this? Now, demons are hiding. And people might not have said, well, I'm going to, you know, put you under my mind control. It is simply damaged goods in our family. Particularly, you're no good. You will amount to nothing. I hate you. You know, and at the same time, you control the person because the person that would try so hard to please the parent. And the parent is gone. We have that destruction. And then we have the anger. And you wonder, why do I get angry? Let me say this to you. No trigger words. And when I was in, my trigger words was my name. I was in trouble all the time. And teachers, police, mom and dad, aunts and uncles, they would always, my name was Jan Sture Torell. And when I heard that, I hated it. I hated it. I didn't want to hear it. And when somebody said it later on, it was like somebody opened a hatch and all garbage would, and my emotions were running like this. Nothing had happened, but they just said my name. I changed my name. I don't like when somebody used my, now I'm healed. If they say my old name now, I don't care. I'm healed. Let me tell them another incident. In Sweden, every spring when we finished the school, they had a certain psalm. Like you have a mighty fortress, this is the one that talks about the flowers are coming and stuff like this. And every spring, I had bad grades. I had D's, F's. You know, when I got home, Dad would look at my report card. He says, you need a whipping man. He would whip the tar out of me. I says, can't you do better than that? So figure this now. 10 springs. Every time I sit to the, when they had the, what do you call it, the closing in the school year, here comes that song. Da, 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 da. And I go, oh. I hear the words. I don't hear the words. I hear my dad yelling. I feel my rear end hot. I feel pain. It was like somebody just wiped me out. If that song ever played on the radio some other place, I went to pieces. It took me a while to figure it out why. That was associated with my failure. A song can be an association, a word, an event. We had a lady, and I shared that with you quickly here, that we came to our church 25 years ago. And she was distraught, and we began to minister to her and so on. And she said, Pastor John, she said, you know, I can't understand this. Every time I pass a florist shop, she said, I want to commit suicide. I'm depressed. She said, why is it? Where's a florist? What does that do to me? I said, I don't know. But let's sit down. Let me hear your life story, and I tell you. Here's a life story. Some of you heard it. She's happily married, she thought. And it was their wedding anniversary. And she cooked up the nicest meal the husband wanted, that he liked. She got herself dressed up, you know, got her hair fixed, everything else, got a nice dress on. Met them at the door and said, honey, welcome home, give him a kiss. He just pushed her inside and said, you know, here's some flowers, I want a divorce. Then he sat down and said, oh, great, my favorite dinner. He ate the dinner, she was standing over there bawling, flowers thrown on the floor. And after he finished the meal, he said, thank you very much. It's a nice meal. He got his clothes, walked out, and he loved her. Flowers. Every time she saw a florist, she would go to pieces. She didn't know why, but she'd been mind controlled now. So it was a mind control. And when she saw the flowers, the brain up here stopped functioning. This took over, and she wanted to commit suicide. We try to minister to her. We try to help her. But probably a few months after that, she killed herself. And she simply drove down the street, got up to 100 miles an hour, power pole, just hit it right on, and she died instantly. Mind control is powerful. And people have done it. Demons have done it to us. And we need to recognize that I need to be set free. We go through deliverance, but you see, when we have deliverance, it's like when you are peeling an onion. You take out one layer, and there is another layer, and another layer, another layer. When we have a deliverance, we never get everything in the first session. There need to be a tune-up, but we never get everything in the second one. And something takes 5 to 10 years for hidden stuff to come up to the surface. And we realize, ooh, there it is. If God would take everything in one time of deliverance, it would kill us. We couldn't handle it. So he has to go in stages. How do we break out of this? Number one thing is this, is to find someone. I've written this book, Christian Dynamics Number One, and I just talked right out of this book here tonight. We have that. But you need to find someone that you have confidence in. Someone you have confidence in. And simply say, I have a problem. I want to share that with you. The first step to destruction of a mind control problem is to talk about it. Get it out. And then say to the person, can you pray with me? Can you help me to get out of this? Pride holds us back. I don't want them to know that. You know I'm weird, but I don't want them to know that. Let me tell you a secret. We all weird. Every one of us. We have weird stuff going on. And so we need to simply say, you know, if it needs to go, it needs to go. Let me talk about people and death. When someone dies, the demons get out of that person. And the person can have, you know, 15, 20,000 demons. So they can have 5 or 6,000, whatever it is. And demons like to go in the bloodline. They like to stay in the family. Which means that you might have a relative living around the half the globe, dies, and the demons get out, and you know there's a severe shortage of apartments for them. There's a tremendous competition. So the demons will simply find out, well, there's a relative living in California. They find you, and they will jump you. And suddenly you begin to realize, well, I'm thinking like Uncle Abe. That's weird. Why do I think like him for? You just got his demons. So we need, when you hear that relatives have died, you need to simply command the spirits that they cannot come to you, they cannot enter your body, you will not have them. You want to reject that in the name of Jesus. These demons particularly like to come when you are asleep. Because then you cannot really defend yourself. And there's been times I've been asleep and suddenly there's some stuff happening and I recognize that these are demons from a dead person. Could be a cousin, it could be an uncle, an aunt, whatever it is. And I recognize them and I kind of wake up. And first you're so engrossed in it, and then I say, the name of Jesus, I don't want that. You got to destroy it and reject it. But you see, most of the time we don't do that because we think, you know, just a dream. Might not have been a dream. It might have been a demon trying to get entrance. So we want to simply stay on top. I have here the prayer. This is what I wrote on page 172 in Christian Dynamics. Had the victim renounced every mind-controlled porn, break in the name of Jesus, and reject the demons in charge of this control, then the council would take over and destroy this particular mind-control, remove the demons and send the priests by God's holy angels, and ask for the Holy Spirit to heal the soul of the victim, that the victim can now walk in freedom. So we need to deal with that particular thing. Here's another thing I want to share with you. If you've been married more than once, or if you have a bad childhood, you will take your baggage from your childhood or from your first marriage, second marriage, third marriage, whatever it is, you take that with you. And this is what we do. We park these suitcases behind us, and now we have a honeymoon, new spouse, you know, whatever it is. And then, you know, things begin to wear down. Mind control sets in, and you remember what he did, she did, and you get angry. And then the demons say, yeah, and you take it out on your current spouse. And your current spouse had nothing to do with it. That's what we tell people if you're divorced. If somebody die, don't just remarry, but you really need to have some counseling and make sure that you get your luggage disposed of. So when you come in a new relationship, you don't have the old stuff with you. Because the old stuff, you know, will show up. It's like when you fly on an airplane, you know, you check in your bags, you know, but you come to the next place, you know, here are your bags again. So, these are the things that we want to look for. In Philippians chapter 4, now back to that. And then in verse number 9, Paul says this. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, when you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And then go down to verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Here's what I did in my life. When I came to Christ in 1965 as a young man, about 22, 23 years old, I was a thief, I was a liar, I was a coward. If there's a fight, I put my wife out first. If there's a problem, I had failed in many areas. And I didn't have anyone to teach me. But I realized I don't like who I am. I don't like that. I had not read that, you know, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let's just turn to that. 2 Corinthians. We find that in Let's see where we find that. 532? 517, there we go. Let's read that first. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I had not read that, but the Holy Spirit said, you're a new creature. I did not talk to my wife about this because I was too embarrassed. I'm kind of a private person, so I didn't talk to her. But I realized I don't like myself, and I don't want to be like I am. So I said, I'm going to find some people that I like their characters. The first one at that time, because we came to Christ, to Billy Graham, and Billy Graham always stressed integrity, truth. I try to model myself after Billy Graham. Truth, integrity, openness, no lie, no cheating. Then I like Catherine Kuhlman. She was a very good Bible teacher. And when I was in seminary, I listened to her quite a bit. And I said, I'd like to be like her in Bible teaching. I want to be precise. I want to stay with a word. I want to be simple. So I took her. And I took maybe 4 or 5 other people. And I simply said, this is how I'm going to build my character. I'm going to take this from that person, this and this and that, and this is what I'm going to be. I rebuilt myself with the help of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that I was doing it, but I felt, you know, I hated myself, my old self. Now, this is what you need to do. You're simply going to say this. I want to be that new creation in Christ Jesus. I don't want to be controlled by what my dad and mom did, and brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, you know, people here and there, you know, first spouse, second spouse. I don't want to be controlled by them anymore. I'm going to cut it in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. I'm healed. In Christ, I'm healed. I don't have to feel bad anymore. And I'm going to begin to pray for them if they're alive. I'm going to begin to simply say, God, give me love for these people. I'm going to be set free from that. And I'm not going to take out my frustration on people around me now. They did not do anything to me. It's my past. And I want to kill my past. Let me turn with you, have you turn with me to Psalms 103. You know, we do a lot of, had done marriage counseling over the years. And it's always the same. I don't care, you know, what couple it is. We all got the same problem. And the first thing we do, you know, is, you know, when the husband would say, you know, well, you know, I got this list. And she got her list, you know. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on, you know, all these different negative things. And then you try to work with it and so on. And it's okay, I'm going to forgive. 6 months later, it's the same list again. Well, I thought we dealt with that. Well, you know, Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. We want to be like that, right? He will not always chide, that means he's not always going to harp on you. Neither will he keep his anger forever. Praise God. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, how far did God remove our transgressions? East and west never meet, which means in forever. God has forgotten. If you says, God, you know, I feel so bad for yesterday. And he says, you do? What did you do yesterday? Well, Lord, you know, I confessed it. Yeah, he said, yeah, I did, you know, and I forgot it. You don't want to hear it again, Lord? No. The devil never forgets. The demons never forget. God forgets. When he forgives, he forgets. This is what we need to do. We need to forgive and forget. Here's a thing as I quickly wrap this up. You know, if you carry resentment towards someone, if you have art against somebody, you have that person with you when you eat breakfast. He's there with you when you eat lunch. And he will show up at the dinner time. He'd be there in bed with you when you go to sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, he's there with you. He eats on you. The person that you're upset with, he has not the foggiest idea. He's happy as a lark. That's what I'm doing here, you know. He doesn't know that you are being eaten up by him. Forgive, release, forget. I'm happy today to simply say this. I didn't have a happy childhood. Some things were happy, but some things were not happy. You know, I had a great uncle living. This was a big house. It was divided up. You got all relatives together. When you got all the relatives together, it's heaven on earth, right? Anyway, this guy next door, he had a furniture store. And my parents... He's bad, you know, doing this and that, you know. So we had a little balcony. Here's my great uncle out in the yard. He has some furniture up, he has a sale. And there's some customers there. And I stand down and I say, yo, don't buy his furniture, they're no good. Don't buy his furniture, you know. They all look up, you know, what's this? And I'm ducking down, you know, and I come back up again. Now, why did I do that? Because mom and dad. I'm free from that now. I have relinquished all my relatives. I have relinquished all my teachers, all the people that hurt me, people I hurt that asked for forgiveness. And I'm simply saying, I am free in Christ. I don't have to be controlled anymore. So my suggestion to you is this. You that are here, you that are watching us, if you have, get your Christian dynamics out. Go to mind control. Go through these pages. Examine your life and say, is anyone controlling me? They might be dead. But they put some traumas in you that today are ruling your thought life. Break it. Destroy it. In the name of Jesus. Or you will simply suffer. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Now, simply take care of this. Be happy. You know what? You have permission from God to be happy. Did you know that? You have permission from Jesus to cast all your burdens and care on him and simply begin to rejoice. You have permission. The devil says, no, you can't do that. Remember Aunt Nellie, how nasty she was? You got to carry the grudge. I don't have to carry the grudge. I don't want to carry the grudge. I want to be free. I don't want to carry any grudge. I don't even want to carry a grudge against Obama. Or the Democrats. Or the communists. I want to be free. And you see, if you come to that place, ask yourself this. Why should you be controlled by somebody? except Jesus. Praise the Lord. How do I want to just close with one scripture here with you. Let me take it to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And I'll be done here tonight. John chapter 10. Verse 10. The thief comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus wants you and me to have life abundant. If you don't have it, find out why not and get into it. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you for tonight. We deviated, Father God, from the regular lesson. But Father God, this is a type of transferring of spirits. We need to deal with that. And I want to thank you publicly, my Heavenly Father, for setting me free from my family that's been there for hundreds of years, Father God, in strife. For setting me free from myself, Lord, for the stupid things I have done. I thank you tonight, Father God, I do not carry any grudge, and I do not want to carry any in the future. Help each person, Father God, to examine themselves. And if they have a grudge, if there is some kind of a mind control, let them destroy it, and let them have life abundant. And this I ask, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. May God bless you. You that are watching us, if you have a question, call us, write us. We are there. May God bless you and good night.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This was the first message on destroying mind control. The material for this subject came from the book written by Pastor John entitled Christian Dynamics Course 1. Mind control happens in homes, and most people don't even realize they have been programmed against their wishes. Pastor John used the example of a mother who was involved in witchcraft in Pentecostal churches and had a daughter that she did not want to grow up to become independent. So she set up an elaborate scheme to place mental blocks in the daughter and cripple her mentally. The daughter eventually left home, married, and had 4 children, but was incapable of just doing regular household chores. Her children also became mentally unstable and struggled just to cope with life. This woman came to our ministry after 40 years of living like this, and 11 major mind control points were discovered that the mother had programmed into her. It is our hope that this teaching gave you an awareness that many people can be under a mind control program without even knowing it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for Bible Study 1266. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. 3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.